Keep going through this. Okay, Habakkuk, let's see, before Zephaniah. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand these words. And you have these things written for a reason. And even though it seems to creep us out sometimes, and I do pray you'd help us to understand your words, help us to see the mighty power that you have, and help us to appreciate your mighty power. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Habakkuk saw these things, and he saw some pretty creepy stuff. And in verse 5, he says that even if somebody told you, you're not going to believe it. It's so mind-boggling. It's so out of the ordinary, it's so weird, it's so creepy, it's so demonic that it just kind of works on your brain sometimes. And a lot of times we can read our Bible and, of course, get comfort out of it. But why does God write some of these creepy things in the Bible? And it would be very difficult to understand it probably 30 years ago. But we live in a day and age where this creepy stuff is becoming quite common. Okay, I'm not going to tell you how creepy, but I tell you there is some creepy stuff going on out there. It's so mind-boggling, you just can't wrap your mind around it. Okay, the conspiracies, the evil darkness that the world leaders have intended for mankind it's scary if you don't have a faith in God. And if you got a faith in God, then you're just waiting like, hey, Lord, boy, this is going to be pretty good show if you're in charge. And so Habakkuk 1 verse 5, he's saying God's going to work a work. And he says, you will not believe it, though it be told you. Okay, you're not going to believe it, even if it's told you. He says in verse 6, he's going to raise up the Chaldeans. That's the Babylonian army. They're going to come in and conquer Judah. He describes their method of conquering, verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. So their military power, is he describing the military power back then only, or is he implying some of the modern cavalry of today? Could be. But verse 11 is where we stopped last time. Verse 11, Habakkuk changes from talking about the Chaldeans, verse 6, to talking about one person or being or leader or tyrant or whatever it is. Verse 11, then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God, lowercase g. Okay, so doctrine, let's try doctrinal cross-reference, Ezekiel 21:21. Okay, this creepy stuff, the only reason I'm teaching it because it's in the Bible. Why has God got it in the Bible? I don't know. For a reason. Is it going to help me pay my mortgage next week? No. Is it going to help you change the diapers on your kid? No. Is it going to help your Christian life? I don't know. It might help you understand the creepiness of government officials and what's going on behind the scenes that we don't really want to know about. Maybe the dark side of the Hollywood people, the Illuminati. I mean, it gets really bad. I mean, ultra bad. Okay, Ezekiel 21:21. This is the same context, so we're at least on the same doctrinal footing. Ezekiel 21:21. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of two ways, to use divination. He made his arrows bright. He consulted with images. He looked in the liver. Wouldn't that be a good life verse? You know, put your signature down. Ezekiel 21:21. Job 17:1. My breath is corrupt. My days are extinct. Good life verse. Okay, and so that's creepy. And what's he talking about there in verse 21? I know the schools don't teach this. I know that pastors don't teach through these things, but they're just missing out on all these things in the Bible, and some of it's kind of creepy. And what that is in verse 21, okay, the king of Babylon, historically Nebuchadnezzar, doctrinally Babylon is going to be the Antichrist, Mystery Babylon. And he is consulting with spirits. He's consulting with, he's using divination. They have a method. The Roman rulers, Caesars, employed what was called an auger, A-U-G-U-R. That's not, you know, a pipe with a screw in it moves corn. An auger was a mystic that would cut apart birds at a certain time of the day, maybe on a full moon, half moon, new moon, who knows, and they would look at the bird parts, and somehow, mysteriously, that would give them advice of what they're supposed to do politically. Okay, I don't know what it's got to do with birds, except a little birdie told them. Some of us are old enough. Remember when it came out that Nancy Reagan consulted the stars when Ronald Reagan would travel around? People were shocked. They're shocked that these people at the top do these things. Did people know that Hillary Clinton would consult with Eleanor Roosevelt? Anybody remember that? Do you remember? Hillary Clinton consulted with Eleanor Roosevelt. She's dead. About wisdom, and Eleanor Roosevelt was the wife of FDR, and it was kind of known that she was AC/DC, and Hillary Clinton's calling her buddy. I mean, okay, that's goofy. But this is serious stuff with these people. And if we're to be Bible believers, we can recognize this. What we recognize is that if the higher up a person goes up in the political world, in most cases, 99 times out of 100, they have made an agreement with Satan to get that power. Okay? I thought it was rather interesting that Putin, about a year ago, was warning the Western countries, our countries, warning us about abandoning Christian values. Putin was doing that a year ago. But in the last 2 weeks, now he's buddying up with Obama. So somebody higher up than him is calling the shots. Something's going on. Probably they're not going to let him get in the underground tunnels after Jade Helm 15. I don't know. I mean, it's creepy. You get some creepy stuff online. I don't believe all of it, but boy, I tell you, there is. And then you go back to your Bible and discover that some of this stuff has got some truth to it. Now, how dark are we going to go when we go through these things? Habakkuk saw this stuff. I haven't seen it, thank God. And I highly doubt anybody here has seen it, thank God. I've asked Bill Sneblin about some of it, and he's kind of seen a little bit. But this is a side of God. If you would go to Job 41, if we focus on the Lord, we can relax. Okay, if God's plan it would be glorifying to Him for us to die a certain death, then that should bring Him glory. Okay, Job 41, you can write to Christian colleges. They don't know who this guy, this thing is, Leviathan. Anybody in this room, been here long enough, know who Leviathan is. The rock stars know who Leviathan is. Christians don't. Okay, Leviathan is a strange being. If you write all the Christian colleges, you're going to get, here's some of the answers. You'll get a whale possibility, a dinosaur possibility, a whirlpool, a hippopotamus, an elephant, a fire-breathing bug. Those are some of the answers. Okay, that one we got out of Maranatha Baptist Bible College. A fire-breathing bug. Okay? That's what they're saying Leviathan is. And that is so easy to figure Leviathan out. It only has found four verses in the Bible. And in Isaiah 27:1, it says that Leviathan, that the Lord is going to come back in that day and punish Leviathan, the crooked serpent. He's going to slay the red dragon that's in the sea. I mean, it's obvious who Leviathan is. It is a natural picture of Satan. Okay, this is what he looks like naturally if he showed up. Leviathan, Job 41, verse 1. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook? Okay, so Job is showing the power of God over Satan. Now, if we can't figure out who Leviathan is, if you drop down to the last verse of the chapter, it says, he beholdeth all high things, he is a king over the children of pride. That's the devil. Okay? He's the king over the children of pride. Verse 33 said he's made without fear. So he has no fear. He don't fear you. He don't fear me. He don't fear God. He has no fear of any of us. He has so much power, it says that in Ezekiel 28, verse 3, that he is wiser than Daniel, so he's got wisdom. That's pretty smart. Daniel, I mean, three times it says Daniel is beloved of the Father and all the visions that he had from God. And he is so powerful that when Michael, the archangel, came down to get the body of Moses, remember in the Old Testament, Moses died and God evidently wanted to use his body for something else. And so Michael showed up to get his body and the devil was there and the only thing Michael said to him was, "The Lord rebuke you." He didn't smart off to him. He didn't do anything. He just said, "The Lord rebuke you." Okay? And that's where our trust needs to be in the Lord. Now, how powerful is our Lord God? A lot of people think it's a struggle between God and the devil. Oh, the gods, oh, it's a struggle back and forth. Job 41, verse 1 says, "Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook?" Okay? I'm not much of a fisherman. But I think you put a worm on a hook. A worm is symbolism of man in the Bible. You throw it out there, and you got the bobber, and you wait for that bobber to go down, and you set the hook, and you're kind of easy to reel in the fish. If it's a little one, some of them put a fight up to it. But the little one, yeah, I mean, kind of you bring it in when you want. And that's the power of God has over Satan. Tremendous power. And we sometimes forget that. If we see the great big red dragon coming at us, we're going to be scared to death. But then if we remember, my God is bigger than him. Lord, if you want the red dragon to scorch me, then make it medium well or whatever. If you want the dragon to eat me, just make him do it quick. If you want me to slay the red dragon with my sword, that'd be fun. That's up to the Lord in that matter. He gives another analogy. Or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down. Okay, people are in a body piercing nowadays. Okay, let's put a hole in their tongue and then put a rope on it. I think they're going to go everywhere you want them to go. Okay, we'd put a ring in a hog's snout so it wouldn't root anymore. And boy, do they squeal. I would squeal too getting a ring stuck in my nose like that. And man, you can put a little hook on the end of that thing and they'll go anywhere you want them to go. Okay, this is our God. Canst thou put a hook into his nose? Okay, there you go. You do that to them great big bulls. They put a hook right between them, the nose there. And man, they'll lead that thing anywhere. Or bore his jaw through with a thorn. Will he make many supplications unto thee? Begging them. Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? Okay, that's the great power of our God over Satan. tremendous power. And when we see these big shots getting away with what they get away with, and we see that they're lying through their eye teeth, and anybody knows they're lying, if they're going to be honest, people just don't want to admit it. Are you saying that the government officials, the CIA and the FBI, would be lying to us about the Kennedy assassination? Of course. Of course. I mean, the lies about the Kennedy assassination, the guy's probably still living down in Venezuela. Who knows? You know, I mean, there are stuff that's going on. You know, going to the moon. I don't believe they went to the moon. I think it's all a hoax. And there is so much out there that is just a bunch of lies. 911, I believe that was an inside job. There's too much evidence. I don't believe the conventional thing on that. Why? It's because if somebody is this powerful, gets that high up, they have had to make an agreement with Satan. I don't think they have our best interests at heart. Is that not what the devil offered to Jesus Christ? If you bow and worship me, I will give you all these world kingdoms. So that tells us, if we're Bible believers, if somebody has power over world kingdoms, they have sometime made an agreement with the God of this world. Now, the exception proves the rule. An exception throughout history would be Queen Victoria, King James. There's an exception to prove the rule. Okay? And when we see media types behind the scenes, these people and or beings are pretty dark. Pretty bad. I mean, extremely bad. And many of them are operating under what's called mind control because they've been traumatized into these things. I mean, bizarre stuff. Jan's been working on the play, and of course, the play this year is going to be on the apocalypse, so it's going to be interesting. And she was just asking me about a name, this lady's name. And I said, yeah, what about that lady's name? Did you know her story? I said, yeah, I'd read that about 15 years ago, but it was so bad I didn't want to keep reading it. And this is a woman that her father was so wicked. I'm not going to tell you how bad he was, but he was so wicked that this lady eventually amazingly overcome ultra-based mind control. It was so bizarre, I couldn't talk to anybody about this. In fact, I talked to a guy who was in the Navy. He worked in the mind control division of the Navy. He was a Christian at the time. When he realized what they were doing in the mind control division of the Navy, he said, I don't think I want to be a part of this. I brought up to him that book and that woman, and I asked him what he thought about it. He said, it's true. And it was so bad. You know, I started reading. I didn't want to fill my mind with some of the garbage in it, but that stuff is so bizarre that this woman's life story is involving political officials starting with Gerald Ford all the way through both Clintons. Bizarre stuff. Perverse, wicked things. Okay? And this tells us that the Bible's true. The Bible's true. And there's so much going on out there that is just mind-boggling. And so Habakkuk saw some of these things. And so now what he's going to do at verse 12, you've got a paragraph mark. So here's what Habakkuk's going to do. And I would dare say that you and I do these things too. If something is so bizarre, or if there's something that terribly happened to us, okay, in our lives, where is God? Why is God not intervening as quick as we want Him to? Okay, so we bring our arguments to the Lord. And Habakkuk is doing that. Now Habakkuk, after he brings his arguments to God, In chapter 2, he says, okay, I'm going to sit back and wait for you to reprove me. Because no doubt, I'm wrong and you're right. And there's a lot of things, when we look at it from our perspective, God, you're holy, you're just. The Bible says, I'm telling you my arguments, what I've brought to the Lord. Bible verses. God, you're holy, you're just. Your word says that you love judgment. Your word says that justice and judgment is the joy of the Lord. And so, okay, here's some bad things that have happened, so I want you to execute justice. I mean, your word says that. Maybe, you know, okay, maybe the timing is not quite ready for that, so I'll try to move the heaven courts to get the Lord to do something. And it's like, it's just like you're talking to the air. Why? It's because God's timing is not my timing. His calendar is not my calendar. Now, we can believe what His Word says in Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Yeah, I see that. I just like to have the Lord work the good part sooner. Is that not true? Okay, and it just doesn't seem that God's in a hurry. As many people that have served the Lord and have had their story. Okay, how about Nate Saint? Okay, Brent was just part of BIMI. He went to a week's training of missions. And Nate Saint was, Nate Saint and Elizabeth Elliott, so Jim Elliott, they were killed by the cannibals down there in Ecuador in 1950. Some of you remember that story. Okay, Nate Saint's grandson was at the mission conference where Brent was at. Okay, but, okay, now we know the story of Nate Saint. Somebody wrote a book about it, but how many missionaries has that happened to that nobody knows anything about? Hundreds. Which just that we know about these because somebody wrote a book about it in our lifetime. Okay, and then God is going to give all these people their just rewards at the judgment seat. That's where the judgment comes in play. So watch Habakkuk. Watch what he does. Verse 12, art thou not from everlasting? Yes, O Lord my God, mine Holy One. He says, Holy One. God, you're holy. We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, the Babylonians for judgment, and Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Okay, Lord, the blessing is on Israel. We are your chosen people. The Babylonians are appointed to judgment. Okay, now's the time. I'm telling you, now's the time. And what happened? Babylon come in and conquered them. He says, verse 13, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. Lord, you canst not look on iniquity. I hope, Lord, you're not watching the Babylonians coming in and going to conquer us. But he is. He is. He did watch them. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously? How far do we study that word, treacherous? Dealing treacherously. Okay, you can go back to World War II and the mind control of the Germans and then how the Americans bought into that stuff. I mean, treacherously, that is pretty dark. What they do to get people to do their bidding. And he says, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he. Now, is that literal or is he figurative? Are we going to do what they do at the secular school? Oh, the Bible's a figurative book. It's got figurative language, and each of us can interpret it the way we want. You know, that's our okay. Is the word devouring a literal statement? Is it devouring somebody like destroying them? Why didn't he use the word destroying? Is it devouring somebody to eat them? A wicked man eating somebody more righteous than he. Now, how far are we going to take this? And there is a lot about that subject in the Bible. So are we going to accept that? Psalm 14, verse 4, have all the workers of iniquity who who eat up my people as they eat bread. Psalm 54 or 53 verse 4, identical verse. The fifth seal, the seal judgment in Revelation chapter 6 verse 9 and 10 and 11 is sacrificing a righteous individual in a Jewish altar in a tribulation time period. And he's being offered and eaten by the Antichrist. I mean, how far are we going to take this stuff? Is that so bizarre? Has that stuff been stopped? Is that what the Bible has on the calendar? Is that going on today? Well, I don't think we should look for it. But the Bible writes about it. Are we going to believe the Bible or are we going to just overlook these things? Why does God got this in the Bible? I bet you Habakkuk was scratching his head at nighttime. I bet you after seeing this vision, he's saying, okay, I can't sleep. I haven't slept for 7 days. Watching that, it shows how small we are, really. One of 7 billion people, and how powerful our God is. And when our faith is in our God, then we can rest in our God. Okay, we can be like, I wonder when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, if you had a worry wart lady, when she, oh, I hope that wall stays up. Oh, I hope it don't fall in. Oh, I hope it don't. And then a little kid runs to the wall and says, hey, look at that fish. Oh, man, this is cool. Man, this is great. He had a fun time across the trip. I mean, both got to the other side, but one just had more fun than the other one. And the thing is, the Lord is showing us some of these things in the Bible. Why? To show how powerful our God is. And he's not concerned about it. It's just that we are down here. Okay, so you're holding your tongue. You're not speaking when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he. Okay, and you go through the, read the Inquisition. Read what happened to some of those people. Read about the Iron, I think it's either called the Iron Virgin or the Iron Maiden, I think that's what it was called, where it was like a mummy type, it was like a cabinet where a person can stand in it, so it looked like a mummy, but they had daggers inside that cabinet, and when they'd put the person inside there to persecute them, they would close the door, and those knives were designed not to kill them instantly. It was designed to let them die slowly. And I'll bet you if that believer in Christ was inside that thing and said, Lord, where are you at? Oh, God, you got to help me through. You got to give me the grace. I remember reading an account about a mother who was being tortured during the Inquisition. And they were taking pliers and peeling her skin, and she was not recanting. And so they brought her child in front of her, a 7-year-old child. Oh, now that's tough. Okay? And the mother, and only God could give somebody grace like this, the mother said, honey, stand true to God. I'll see you in heaven after this is over. And they killed them both. Okay? And God in heaven remained silent. He remained silent. But boy, I bet you they had a joyous reunion when they got to heaven. Okay, and so in verse 3, this is what Habakkuk is seeing. And he is appealing to God. Okay, what are they going to do? How far are they going to go? It says, verse 14, and make us men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. So these elite look to you and I like pawns, fish, animals. Verse 15, they take up all of them with the angle, they catch them in their net, and gather them in their drag, therefore they rejoice and are glad. The they will be those Babylonians, historically, doctrinally, workers of iniquity in tribulation time period. They're catching people, putting them in cages, and going to do something to them. Very, very bad. Habakkuk is watching this. God gave him this vision. Verse 16, therefore they sacrifice unto their net. The idea of that is They worship the net. They worship, like you see people in professional sports, you know, the baseball gods, the golf gods. A guy gets a home run, he's a god. Okay, it says, therefore they sacrifice their net and burn incense unto their drag. Now they call them drag queens. Because by them their portion is fat and their meat is plenteous. They get rich. They get very rich by doing these things. Blood money. I mean, but it's just bizarre. If we knew the behind the scenes, I tell you, at the White Throne Judgment, we are going to see this stuff and we're going to say, boy, was that Bible true? And these people that get all this world fame, and they are not what they appear to be. Verse 17, shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? Okay, now that question reveals the doctrine, because historically it's Babylon slaying one nation, but in the tribulation it will be the Antichrist slaying a bunch of nations. He will going about to conquer to conquer everything, and he's going after everybody, because he says that the devil is coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so this is what Habakkuk is doing, okay? So he's posing these questions to God, asking God, please, why is this going on? Where is your intervention? Why are not you intervening? You're holy, you're just. Lord, why are you being silent? Okay, so he's thrown out his questions, 12 to 17, and in chapter 2, now he's going to stand back and wait for an answer. So he says this, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. I kind of like that myself. It's like, okay, Lord, I got it off my chest. I got off my chest. I gave you my best shot. I gave you all the scripture I could think of. Why you should do something, at least for my sake, because I ask it to. I'll just wait, and obviously you tell me where I'm wrong. And that's true, because God's seeing a big picture. We're stuck in this time capsule. That's what we're stuck in. And God sees eternity. And he's seeing eternity, and he's saying, okay, if you want a better position in my kingdom, then I'm going to have to put you through some things now. And if I put you through some tough times now, in my kingdom, you'll be glad for it. You probably won't be real glad for it now, but you will be glad for it then. And so Habakkuk said, okay, I'm sure I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong. It's no guesswork. But at least I'm telling you. Now, Moses, when he prayed to God, prayed for an entire nation, God answered his prayer. So one man can influence an entire nation by his prayers. Moses did it. Moses saved the lives of 2 to 3 million people because he confronted God with his viewpoint, his thoughts, and he said to God, repent. Now, Moses and Samuel, those are two men in the Old Testament that God said, even if Moses and Samuel was in Judah during Jeremiah's day, God says, I wouldn't listen to him. So evidently, Judah was so bad that he said, if Moses and Elijah was here praying, I would not listen to them. If Daniel, Noah, and who's the other one? Daniel, Noah, and Job. Daniel, Noah, and Job, if they were living here in Judah, they wouldn't even save their own children. They would only save themselves by their righteousness. That's bad when he uses those examples. That's how bad Judah got. And so when the Babylonian army came in, one of the captains in Jeremiah 40 said to Jeremiah, he had more sense than all them people in Judah, all them people that had a Bible, and he said, I know why God let us conquer you. It's because you people rejected his words. And there's an example where the children of this world are wiser than children of light. That's what he told Jeremiah. And Jeremiah stayed right in town and lived through that troubled time, fulfilling what God wanted him to do. Now the Lord does answer him in verse 2. He starts to answer his questions. And then he writes them down. Okay, and so we'll start back in chapter 2 next time. So this is quite a thing. So it's, you know, when we're going through our difficulty, I say pray about everything. Throw all that you have to the Lord and then wait on God. And the thing is, we really got to, he's really going to check us as far as our trust in him. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do ask that you'd help us to, like Habakkuk, at least bring our concerns, our questions, what we think are maybe inconsistencies, maybe why the silence, why aren't you intervening? And Lord, we are to bring that to you. You said, pray without ceasing. But then also, Lord, we're asking you to give us grace to accept your answer of no or your answer of wait. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to honor you and realize that the Bible gives us the entire picture. And this strange things that we are actually seeing in our day, help us to trust you in these matters. In Jesus' name, amen.